Jericho. Jericho was a very wealthy and very powerful city. It was the entry point if you were east coming in to that promised land. But not only was it a wealthy, powerful city, it was the greatest taxation center of all of the nation. I'm afraid through the years we've done Luke's narrative a great disservice when it comes to the story of Zacchaeus. Maybe it was the song that many of us learned as children, Zacchaeus, that wee little man, and he climbed in the tree. But Zacchaeus was a disgusting crook. He was the chief tax collector, according to Luke 19, verse 2. Now, there were many tax collectors over all the land. Some translations refer to them as publicans, tax collectors. Many of them were Jews who worked for the Roman government and collected the taxes that, of course, the Jews and others didn't want to pay to the Romans. Jesus spoke of the tax collectors much in his ministry. He even chose Levi, who then was called Matthew, to be one of the 12, a tax collector, as an apostle. But the only time in all of Scripture that we read the words a chief tax collector is in Luke 19. A chief tax collector. Here's how it worked. You had to pay your taxes, and let's say your tax was $50. The tax collector would come to you, and he would say, well, it says $50. I'm going to charge you $70. You owe $70. You couldn't argue. The tax collector had the final notice. You would say, it seems higher than last year. You owe $70, because that's how he was paid. He paid 50 eventually. The tax collector kept 20. This happened all, and everyone knew it. You paid what you were told to pay. And then those tax collectors went to the chief tax collector. And the same thing happened. The chief tax collector said, well, he owed $50. I wonder if he charged 70. Maybe he charged 80. You owe 75. Well, wait, I only made, you owe 75. The chief tax collector. It was this pyramid scheme. You get it. The chief tax collector, and his name was Zacchaeus. He was wealthy, despised, hated by all. He was a slimy crook. He robbed the innocent. Don't feel sorry for Zacchaeus. Oh, outwardly, he had it all together. He held his head high. He was somebody. He was the chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. But inward, he was miserable little man. Surely he was lonely. Who wanted to be friends with any tax collector, much less the chief tax collector? Don't you know he was defeated, rejected? Maybe that's who Charles Dickens thought of when he came up with Ebenezer Zacchaeus Scrooge. Zacchaeus had hurt so many people, and every day he lived in hurt as well. But he wanted to see Jesus. Verse 3, he wanted to see Jesus. Now remember, Jesus is a superstar. At this point of his ministry, Jesus' popularity, all of the crowds were growing and growing. Even Zacchaeus knew the name of Jesus. He had heard of the actions, his reputation, the miracles, the teaching. There was talk that Jesus would be the new king who would restore the kingdom. And surely, on this day, the words were still going that this Jesus on the outskirts of Jericho had healed that old blind beggar, that blind beggar who had been there for years and years. Jesus said, "Your faith has made you see." Zacchaeus surely had heard the story, and he wants to see Jesus. So like others in Jericho, he goes to see him. But remember, Zacchaeus was a short man. And to most people, he was an invisible man. Oh, he had the money to buy seats in the VIP section that day, but no one would sell him anything. Oh, he could push his way to the front of the line, but like the Lufkin Christmas parade, eventually he would be pushed out and probably pushed harder than most. He tried to see, he wanted to see, but he was already black and blue, bruised, ignored at best. So literally, Zacchaeus goes out on a limb to see Jesus. The text is powerful if you're following along. Zacchaeus, it says, runs ahead of the group and climbs up a sycamore fig tree. And there he sits and he looks. Here they come, here they come. That one. That must be Jesus. They're all around him. They're all around him. He's sitting in the tree, and here comes Jesus. And Zacchaeus looks down. Alone in the tree, and verse 5 says, and Jesus stops and looks up. I submit that in that moment, that eye to eye, looking down, looking up, was a holy moment. Jesus looks up. He looks up and he sees one. Jesus thinks, You need love. You need love just like you need water. Jesus looks up at Zacchaeus and he says, you need love like you need breath inside your lungs. It was a holy moment. Jesus looks up and Zacchaeus looks down. And I believe he said, I need you. Oh, how I need you. Come and take me over. Jesus, take me closer. Jesus, take me closer. Maybe Zacchaeus' song sounded like this.
Like a rushing wind, would you breathe within? Just like a fire. Come and take me over. Jesus, draw me closer to your heart. I can hear you call, praying. And when the nights get rough, I will still sing out your praises. 'Cause I how I need you. I need your love like I need water. I need your love like I need breath inside my lungs, burning my heart just like a fire. Come and take me over, Jesus, draw me closer to your heart, your heart, your heart. Closer than my every breath, closer than my every step, closer than the song I sing, closer than anything, closer than my every breath, closer than my every step, closer than the song I sing, closer than everything, closer, closer than my every breath, closer than my every step, closer than the song I sing, closer than anything. I need your love like I need water. I need your love like I need breath inside my lungs, burning my heart just like a fire. Come and take me over, Jesus, draw me closer. I need your love like I need water. I need your love like I need breath inside my lungs, burning my heart just like a fire. Come and take me over, Jesus, draw me closer to your heart, your heart, your heart. It's where I want to be, just begging your heart, your heart, your heart. I just want to be in your heart, your heart.
And so in that moment, Zacchaeus and Jesus, eye to eye, the text says, Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down. And he did. Immediately, Zacchaeus comes down from the tree. And Jesus said, I'm going with you to your house. Well, of course, people started talking. Jesus is going with him, that sinner, that tax collector. Why does Jesus always hang out with sinners? Sinners. People talked. They still do. When you read the rest of the story, it's a story of confession and repentance and salvation. Zacchaeus says, Lord, I do need you. I want you. Lord, I will give half of all I have to the poor. And Lord, if I've cheated people, and he had, I will pay back four times. Confession, repentance. I need, I want, I confess, I repent. Verse 9, Jesus said, today salvation has come to this one. I don't want you to miss verse 10. Luke 19, verse 10. Many scholars believe that that is the key verse of all of Luke's narrative. That one verse, the key verse, Jesus said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus seeks. Jesus seeks those who are hurting and those who are hungry and those who are blind. Jesus seeks after those who are needy and those who are lonely and those who are afraid. Jesus seeks for those that are neglected, despised, and lost. Jesus came to seek and save. The good news, the gospel can never be the gospel without salvation. Jesus seeks, and we too must seek after those around us who are needy, who are hurting, who are lonely, those who are despicable. We seek them. We meet them where they are, and we lead them to salvation. To seek is not enough. To seek and offer salvation. That means sometime we have to go out on a limb, and so do others. I didn't even know she had a husband. She worked in our preschool children's choir. She taught children's Sunday school. She was in the sanctuary choir every Sunday. I just assumed maybe she was divorced, or maybe her husband had died. Maybe she'd never been married, but I'd seen some grown, what I assumed were children, occasionally on holidays worship with her, Lynn. It was a late Saturday night, really late. Our children were very young in San Antonio, and Lynn called and said, Pastor, I need you right now. Can you come to my house? My husband is here, and I need you to pray. I'm about to lose it all. Can you come? Well, I'd never been to her house. She lived on the other side of San Antonio. It was late Saturday night, and I told her, Rita, this makes me a little nervous. I don't know what I'm about to walk into. As I drove, I called some folks and said, do you know Lynn and her husband and what the situation? And no one could tell me much. I drove through that mobile home community where they lived, a nice community, and I found, and I tell you, my heart was beating as I knocked on the door, and she said, come in. And she had been crying. It was evident. She said, my husband, Morgan, is the high school band director at one of the great high schools of San Antonio, a sweepstakes award-winning high school band. Morgan was an alcoholic. He was a functioning alcoholic. He drank every day, 7 days a week, but especially on weekends. He had learned how to drink at school and did it well for many years. But that Friday, he drank a little too much too early. He stumbled. A teacher noticed, the student noticed, the principal noticed, and said, you leave. You leave right now. We'll talk later. Rather than leaving and going home, Morgan went to the ice house down the corner, the bar that he frequented, and he drank all Friday afternoon and all Friday night. He had done it many times. He had driven home, but this night he ran through the traffic light. He hit a car. No one was seriously injured, but he was thrown in jail. DWI and everything else they could give him. He spent the night sobering up, and the next day contacted his wife that Saturday. She picked him up. She thought, "You've lost your job. You've lost your family. You are so lost." That's when she called me. We prayed, and again, I had not ever met him. And we prayed for him and prayed for her. And then she said, "Can I go see if he'll come and pray?" Whew. She went to the back of the house, and he came. And I started praying for a man I had never met, Morgan, who I'd heard all of his story. And as I prayed, he began to sob, and he sobbed, and he sobbed. He realized he needed Jesus. Well, I drove home, and I have to tell you, I thought, well, yeah, I believe he's sincere, but he's about as low as he could go. That next morning, I got to church, and our custodian said, "There's a man who was here when I got here, and he's in the sanctuary, and he was on the front row." And it was Morgan, and he was still praying. He looked better the night before, but he was still praying. He was still emotional. We had the service, and we offered the hymn of commitment, and he was right there. And he grabbed me and said, "I want Jesus. I want to be baptized. I need a fresh start. Pastor, will you walk with me?" As we walked out of church, I have to tell you, some folks said, "Well, we've heard his story. You know he was arrested. You know he drinks a lot." And I did know. It sounded like this story, and they talked. The next morning when I got to the office, Morgan was sitting there in his pickup, and he had this book, and he said, "Pastor, I have found all of these Alcoholics Anonymous, these AA chapters. There's one at 9 o'clock. Would you just ride over there with me?" And I went for about 10 minutes. I had never seen so much smoke in one room in all of my life. And Morgan went in. And I didn't see him the rest of the day because he went from the 9 o'clock chapter, he went across town to 11 o'clock chapter, and he went to a 2 o'clock chapter. And for the rest of that week, 3 days, 3 times a day, he went to AA. The high school principal called him after a week. As a matter of fact, it was spring break, and then that week, and he said, "Morgan, you will never go back to directing, but I'm going to give you a chance. You'll teach ISS, in school suspension." And that's how he ended his career for the next 4 years. For the next 4 years, he had students who didn't want to be in that class, high school students who came into his class. And through that, he was able to say, "You know what? I've made some bad choices in my life." Morgan continued to go to AA. When he retired, Morgan began to work in our church van ministry. He watched the vans and began to pick up some of these kids who didn't have a church and bring them. And every Sunday, Morgan would sit with pew after pew of teenagers who felt loved by this man right where they were. We had the opportunity to ordain Morgan as a deacon. When he retired, he worked in the food bank and he worked in the pantry, and he continued to go to AA, and he sponsored hundreds of folks like him. Morgan said, "Pastor, I went out on a limb, and the limb broke. I didn't look down at Jesus. I looked up, and I saw Jesus." Maybe some of us are there today, either at home or here. Like Zacchaeus or like Morgan, life's been hard, it's not fair, whatever the issue, maybe it's time to go out on a limb and either look down and see Jesus looking up, or if the limb breaks, look up. Kurt's song, "I need you. I need you. Like I need breath in my lungs. I need you like I need water. Draw me closer." Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Lord was passing by, he looked up in the tree and said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house today. Shall we pray? Oh God, I'm so glad that you sent Jesus through Jericho to meet Zacchaeus. I'm glad that when he looked down, you looked up through Christ. God, I know there are a lot of Zacchaeuses. Sometimes they're named Morgan. Sometimes they're named Mark. And whenever we look down or up, you're always there looking. Oh God, we do need you. And may this be a day where we turn to you. For you'd never turn away. You don't say, get right, do this, and then come. You say, come just as you are. May this be a day where we make new commitments to you. It's my prayer in Jesus' name.